Hello, lovely humans. I'm Wyo Lee, and you are listening to Sex Stories, a podcast where we interview awesome, sexy people like pro-doms in an effort to make the world a sexier, more loving place so that we can all lead better laid lives. Our guest today is a professional dominatrix and the creator of the Mistress Luna experience. Using BDSM as her medium and your suffering as her canvas, she facilitates connection and devotion through delicious, delicious torture. Pushing her clients to their limits, she holds space for them as she brings them to new levels of freedom and connection. Welcome, Mistress Luna.
Hi, it's so great to be here.
I am so excited to have you here. Can you start off by telling us about your work? How are you making the world a sexier, more loving place? And what is your professional origin story?
You know, what's really sexy is being unashamed. And I love creating the space and experiences for people to shed their shame and step into their true selves. And that is so sexy.
Fuck yeah. How did you become a dominatrix? What is it like?
So I actually started out as a submissive. And, you know, a lot of women growing up, you are trained through media, school dynamics at a very young age to be submissive. And so a lot of women just grow up that way. So I've been in the scene for 10 years. And about 5 years ago, I started to explore my dominance. And it was a long journey. And I was doing many, many jobs, and one day I decided just to quit everything and devote my life to becoming a pro dom.
That is amazing. Can you tell us a little bit of, like, do you have specialties? What kind, like, what is your texture of dom?
I say that I'm sensitive and sensual, emphasis on senses. I love sight, sound, touch, taste, and texture. I love the psychological aspect of domination, as well as bringing people to be into their bodies and their physical space. So I really love bondage, impact play, feminization.
That's so cool. So what is the Mistress Luna experience?
I would say the Mistress Luna experience is stepping into your true self. So when you come to me, I practice SSCE, which is safe, sane, consensual, and ethical, and also RAC, which is risk awareness, conscious kink, and I practice as well CFNM, which means clothed female, naked male. And so through those, I'm really able to have people submit and surrender to their true selves. I use the power of senses and like your body to really bring that like full submission. So when people greet me, I spray them with different essential oils and I coach them through breath to surrender their brain and their body to kind of just be present. Whether you're like extremely submissive or you're not, it's very much bringing people to like a healing space through like erotic experiences.
That's so cool. So you work with submissives and people who maybe don't identify so much as submissive?
Yeah, there's people who consider themselves service bottoms or not like subs. But yeah,
this might be too personal a question for work stuff, so you can tell me, but like, do you have a favorite type of submissive or client, or like what makes you very happy in service?
So I really love like devotion and like when people like know me, and I really love when people come and like I get to be really creative with like using them and the energy exchange. And so there's some people that I'm just naturally attracted to just energy wise. Like when I do my phone interviews, I really get a grasp of people and you can really feel energy just by talking. And so I have a list of questions that I ask people and people really become vulnerable. I ask people what their kink origin story is. I ask people, what was your first experience? Mine was when I was in second grade, I pulled a boy's ear and I got in trouble, not because he told on me, but because the teacher saw how much I liked it. And he, in exchange for letting me pull his ear, he got to hang out with me and my friends at recess.
Oh my God.
And when I was in middle school, there was a boy that my friend and I, he carried our books. Mm. We teased him relentlessly, but with love. And he loved it. And he followed us around and reached out to me the other day. And he said that he is submissive And he said that his experience with us really shaped how he is now. And he's thankful. And he is, it was just a really sweet experience to hear him like share. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It would be so cool to interview him. Yeah. What's it been like to learn about yourself as a Dom? Like how, what's that process been like? What have you discovered? Is training fun? Did you train? Like what, tell us a little more about your origin story. Details.
So I actually started taking classes. Mm. I studied with Mistress Damiana Chi. Mm. She's a wonderful educator. She has a dominatrix academy called the Evolutionary Dominatrix Academy. And it's really fundamental, like, what is the submissive psychology? I spent 8 months just learning about the brain and how there's such a disconnect in our lives of understanding, like, people want pain. How do I administer pain? When learning about all of these things, like, it was really beautiful to study submissives as well and understand their psychology of like the need and like what it feels like for them to receive this, what it feels like for them to hear the verbal, what it feels like for them to feel the sensation, what it feels like for them emotionally, what it feels like for them psychologically, how they benefited in their lives. And so it was a really great course because she has a group of like 8 sub coaches and you can ask them many questions and they're all diverse. And so you can dominate them and practice and learn. And so it was a great place.
So you're like in a group and there's submissives to practice on and there's other Doms in training or?
Yes, but it's an online class and it happens every Wednesday. Okay. So, and then she has like in-person classes and then she does practicals. Like you have your basic skills that you learn in the class and you submit your videos and you get like, you know, certified in all of these things. And then like I've taken many other classes as well outside of that that have been very impactful. And I've read book after book. And it is really interesting because when you read these books, like they are so male forward. And it's at first it was hard and I got like a little annoyed because I was like, men shouldn't know these things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, books are very gendered and it's a very gendered space. And so something that I've been very interested in is like breaking those gender stereotypes to be like as inclusive as possible. Yeah. You know, I believe in inclusivity and so many different things and accessibility as well as exclusives of fuck shit, you know, like, like there's that balance of both.
Yeah. I also feel like the more that I talk to people here in these spaces, it's like, well, yes, there's gender, but it's, we are so fluid.
Yeah. But the language in BDSM is very gendered. Good girl, bad boy, naughty man, you know, dirty boy fantasies, like all of these things are very like gendered.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite books and or do you have any favorite tools?
Ooh, okay. Let me think about books. I think it's called Sex, Work, Money. And that is a great resource for having a business as a sex worker. Okay. Yeah. So it's about sex, work, and money.
I will read it.
Yes. And then for like domination, I've gotten these books that they're just like lists of psychological things. And so they say like, they're like tips for your submissive, tips for this, but it's just like lists of practices. And there's another one about dominance and consent. And it's so beautiful. And it's really, really great. The book is mostly about consent and how do you impact that through dominance. So I don't have the names of the books off the top of my head.
I'll get a reading list.
I'll definitely get. You know, there's, I have a book called like The Practicology of Sex. And it's a thick book. And it says like, men who like cats are like this. You know, just like all of this like data that people have been interviewed for. And it's just like an index of like sexuality and like what it could mean about you.
I am going to go book shopping, like literally collecting data, or I call it anecdata, is just my number one favorite. Okay. So what about tools or toys? How do you feel about the word toys?
Toys are fun. I think that like as adults, we don't get to play.
That's what I think. And I'm like, why is play?
Why are we not using toys?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, these are tools for my art, but like toys are tools as well.
Yeah.
And like, how do you use them and how do your body use them? You know, my body is very artistic and like, you know, you practice and you learn these things and these skills are, you know, developed and it's an art form.
Amazing. So is it fair to say that you identify as a sex worker?
So that is a tough, not a tough question, but it's very like interesting when I talk to doms about this, because half the doms I talk to say they're not sex workers, and then the other half say that they are.
This is, and I'm trying to figure it out too, also for myself. I'm like, where's the line? What counts?
Yeah. And so for me, I like identify that like the work that I do does not put me in circumstances that other sex workers are put in. Mm. And so I have a, you know, I don't take my clothes off. Right. I don't have sex with anybody.
You like keeping your clothes on.
I like keeping my clothes on. It is, I'm...
I just want to be naked all the time. I'm like, all right, I'll wear them.
You know, like, don't get me wrong. I'm hot as fuck. Like, sexy. Totally, you know, totally. But like, there's, you know, there's an art of tease and denial. What does that do psychologically? Yeah. You know, like, I think that is really what I love, is just because there's erotic versus arousal.
Yeah.
And there's power in both. And I love using the erotic to get through layers of your brain. And you know, like, if anyone is familiar with EMDR therapy, you could do it to yourself. You know, there's like taps, you could do like this, you know, they go like this. There's all of these things you can process. And so I've like adopted doing flogging in this style, where I can keep a consistent beat on both of your sides, and I call you to shift focus. And my style of doming ranges from like processing trauma to absolutely destroying your ego. And like, you know, so I have like both of these like sides, and like they're really present in all of my sessions, even with processing trauma, because destroying the ego to get to that, to understand, to shed that shame, and to be able to like surrender to yourself too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can surrender so easily to other people, which is beautiful, and I love that. But when you surrender to yourself, and then you're surrendering to me, that's like the juiciest bite of the apple, because we're creating this like this passion that is so authentic and raw, and no relationship is manufactured or created twice. And so I have all of these really beautiful dynamic relationships that, you know, I have really great connections with all of the people that I see, because I value just that high energy exchange. And so when I interview people and I talk to them and I hear, you know, their kink origin stories, and I hear them like laugh or talk or ask me questions, like that is like when I really, really connect with people, and like I can tell that we're gonna have a great time. I have a lot of fun.
Amazing. I would love to, okay, this is kind of a tangent question, but it's one of my favorite things to kind of personally reflect upon and think about. Because people are like, oh, you're into humiliation, you're into degradation. And I'm like, I guess so, but it feels sweet to me. Do you experience the sort of like duality of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is such this tenderness and teasing, and such this tenderness and humiliation and degradation. Those are negotiated.
Right. I'm like, no, the conscious ones, it's different.
It's much different. Yeah. You know, like your aim is not to hurt or attack or bring to light traumas that are not processed. I mean, sometimes humiliation and degradation comes from shame, and it is a way to process, but like, it's a very delicate thing. It's just like, you don't slap someone across the face. You never slap someone across the face unless they ask you or give you the consent, because slapping is one of those things that has such a generational trauma throughout people that, you know, spanking also does, but it's a different context. They're both the bare hand, but the face and the ass is completely different. There's also physical degradation as well as, you know, verbal degradation. And like, there is an art to it. You can be damaging, you know, it's a psychological thing. And so it's something to study and to understand and to like talk about with the person that you're going to play with.
Yeah. May I share when I met you in person for the first time?
Yeah.
Okay. So I had been doing research. I had reached out to Mistress Luna. And we'd actually just had a phone call the day before, and then I was volunteering at a play party, and I heard them talking about the scenes that were going to be taking place, and they're like, and then there'll be cock and ball torture by Mistress Luna. And I was, first I was like, oh my god, I've never seen a cock and ball torture in person, I'm so excited. Like, I'd only seen, well, not a proper scene, I'd been like present for one friend's plaything, and so I was like, wait a second, Mistress Luna, the Mistress Luna? And sure enough, it was you.
Yes.
And I got to see you do this incredible. Like, it was, what were you even using? I don't even know, because there was like a switch, there were like all sorts of things. I was like, I watched the whole thing.
Yes. So, you know, it's important to say that the guy that I, my sub that I was playing with, is a very big masochist, and
champion.
He can handle a lot of pain and loves it. In fact, I told him to wipe the smile off his face because it looked like he was enjoying it too much. And this girl in the audience kept going, harder, harder. And I was like, I am going to hurt. Obviously I'm hurting him, you know, yeah, but yeah. Like, I was like, I can't go any harder. But he just loves it, you know? So there's that, you know, just for context, like he loves pain.
And there was a special chair and everything. Yes. Like, what was that called?
They had it there. Okay. You know, when they reached out to me, they asked me, they said, oh, we just got this thing. No one's played with it. No one's used it yet. And so they brought it down from like, they had like a
upstairs.
Little.
Yeah, I know. Upstairs. So I was up there standing with one of the other monitors and we were like, what is that? How do you think you sit in it? And I was like, I need to find out. And then I went downstairs when you were doing your scene and I was like,
Yeah, so I used a like little like taser,
yes.
And I tased his cock,
yes.
And I had a canes, crops. I had some toys that I've made. I used paddles. I kicked it. A flog, that special little flogger, yeah. That was like.
I feel like there was like a swishy thing or like a, I don't know. There was something with.
Like little tassels. Yeah, so it was just a small flogger. It was just a super small one. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that was so cool. Okay, so aside from it, like, what is a day in the life, week in the life, month of the life? Like, what is Mistress Luna's life like as a professional dominatrix? Walk us through your experience.
I like check emails in the morning and I get back to people and then I have people fill out my forms. I set up phone calls. I work on projects because I'm an artist as well, and I'm starting my own company, so I work on that. I read, you know, that's kind of like a daily life is just, you know, taking care of like business.
Yeah.
And then, you know, monthly I do sessions. I hang out with my friends. One of my friends hosts a monthly Dom mixer. I hang out a lot with my Dom friends and scheme to take over the world.
Fuck yes. So do sessions mostly happen at night times, on the weekends? Like, when do you do them? Do you have a favorite
time? I usually like to take my sessions at night. I feel like most relaxed. I like to take the whole day to like focus my energy on just the person that I'm going to see. And I spend like either a week or, you know, a week to like the day before preparing and like getting just everything ready for us.
Yeah.
And like,
that's so hot for them too.
It's really nice to like connect to people and not have it be the same thing over and over again, because that would be boring and everyone is so different and connects to something so differently. And so having my energy just be so focused for somebody, it feels really good for me because I feel like I get the most out of my sessions. And I feel like my clients and subs also get the most out of their sessions when I show up for them and then they show up for me. And so it's really beautiful.
Wow.
And I usually take my sessions at the Chi Temple, and I love the space. I rent from some other places around LA as well, but I love that space.
This might be too specific, but do you have like for yourself a ritual the way that you begin? Is it different with every person, or is there anything grounding that you do for your own self?
So I really like to ground myself through senses. You know, I think that we're so overstimulated.
Yes.
And being able to hone into something and like take it bit by bit, layer by layer. That's just like a great way to ground myself and ground others. And so even when people come in, I like will do like we take away layer by layer until like, you know, you are just focused and you're here and you're now and you're mine. And that just like guiding that process is, you know, one of my favorite parts of just making that like connection for us to happen. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool. What are some of the reactions that you get from people in your life or just people who you encounter when they learn about what you do?
People literally have no idea what it means when I say I'm a dominatrix.
Really?
Yes.
I will say my mom didn't. This was about 2 years ago and I was playing a dominatrix in a film thing. And she was like, what is that? I was like, oh, it's, and she was like, people are into that. And I remember just being like, yeah, some people love to get beaten. Just really, they love it. I don't know.
That's so funny. Yeah. You know, like just people think automatically that I have sex with people or that I hurt people all the time or that I'm just a bitch. And that's not the general like consensus, but that's just like the most negative or like a confused like responses that I get. And I've had multiple in those categories of just people like, whoa, I was at a party once and my friends introduced me to somebody and the guy was like, oh yeah, I hear that you're a Dom and stuff. And he's like, does your partner know that you do that? And I looked at him and I was like, no. And I was like, of course. That just like goes to show like the different levels that people view what? Sex as shame, right? Or like this naughty thing is shame. And there's so much shame.
Yeah.
And like that is like something that I see just all the time. And when you walk in and like you have that like connection, and I use the word connection a lot and I use the word surrender a lot, but there's so many layers to it and it's such a spectrum. And so like you can feel people. I'm an empath and, you know, an intellectual, and watching people just melt into where they're supposed to be yeah. is just fantastic. But, you know, people don't understand what that is. And people just assume that like I'm either mean or that like, yeah, but it's the opposite. I'm a bully, but
only when you need to be.
Only when you know.
How do you decide who to share what with?
I feel like being true to myself and embracing myself has taken shame away. And I use that all the time because we grow up and we learn high different parts of ourselves. And so, you know, I'm not going around oversharing different things, but there's parts of me that it's like, yes, this is what I do. And I'm not afraid of being like authentic to myself. And, you know, I used to be, it was hard. I ended a 5.5-year relationship because I wasn't allowed to express or be a part of BDSM, which is so funny to say, but like, it was such a part of my like personal expression and wanting to be a part of this community of taking pain away from people, giving people pain, guiding pain. And, you know, we live in a world full of pain and we don't understand pain.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I'm constantly trying to figure out what is an overshare and what is hiding.
Yeah,
I feel like I can't tell sometimes in society. And so yeah. I'm just very interested in that. Where would you like to see this work lead for you?
You know, I really want to continue to empower people and just make people feel seen. I want to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm launching a company in June, a BDSM kink experience company.
I want to go. For like, is it groups of people? Is it individuals?
Because so it's different from your sessions. It's different from sessions. Okay. So our first thing is a group experience. And so it's part there's some theatrics involved in it, and there's BDSM and experiences.
Is it like for private groups, or like could I show up and meet people?
So
not
you
meet them, but you know,
like, you buy tickets beforehand, and then so you can buy like a group of tickets, or you can buy an individual ticket, and you show up at the place at the time, and you just happen to stumble upon something.
Okay, when that is launching, I would love for you to come back and share all the details. Can you tell us now what would you say are the sexiest and then least sexy parts of your work?
So I love being in charge, and I love watching people just melt. And that is so sexy to me. And that's like probably one of the sexiest parts of my world is just watching people. The least sexiest part, I would say, is people just assuming that like different parts of me, and that's unsexy. You know, ask questions, people. It's been interesting. This is not a least sexy thing, but it's been interesting to see people view doming or being kinky as a sexual orientation.
Interesting. Good point.
And so they assume that with that sexual orientation, if it is, that there are stigmas that come with it or different things. And even inside the community, you have people who are lifestyle, people who are pro, people who are this, people who are that. You know, there's not just like one genre of BDSM or one genre of knowledge. And so people have come from different backgrounds and have different understandings of it. And for some people, it is very much a sexual orientation. Or like, what does that mean exactly for like, you know? And so that's not like unsexy, but it's definitely like something that's like, oh, you have to like be very clear. I mean, people are very consensual, but you have to know yourself and learn yourself and be like, oh yeah, like this, you know.
What about in your filtration process? Are there unsexy parts there, or
is it the filtration of like
of potential clients?
Oh my gosh, I get the most heinous emails from people.
Okay, that's what I was imagining, because I get weird stuff.
It's the weird, and it's, I love weird stuff. I love when people want to do the weirdest stuff with me. Like, I get excited over it because I'm like, let's do it. Yeah. I want to like dive into you. I want to explore you. I want to take your fantasy and make it a reality. I want to play. I want to just get in there. Like, and I love, like, I mean, I'm so bubbly, but I'm fucking wicked. And I, and like, I mean, you saw me on stage. Yeah. Like, so I like when people send me emails like that, but I do get a lot of things that like are, you up, or I want to do like lick your this, or send me just very like graphic things, or send me a bunch of emails, or send me just stuff that just doesn't make sense. Or people will like kind of fish you. Mm-hmm. And then we call them like energy vampires. Mm-hmm. And so people just like will want to engage with you enough to just have your attention, but not pursue anything else.
Right, right. Like, and they're getting turned on.
Yeah, they're getting turned on by just like the communication with the mistress, or the fact, you know, and it's an investment in yourself when you see a mistress. And like, not everyone can see one all the time. Yeah. And some people who see them all the time, you know, like there's different levels of like connection and stuff, but some people just will talk, email, and never see a mistress, you know, or email and never see a sex worker.
Yeah.
And so I've just had to like process like, all right, at this point, I'm not going to engage anymore because it's not worth my time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I get a lot of emails that are just like, I like to fuck, or like just weird. Like just weird. Yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. Good for you.
Yeah. You do absolute grinding on my face, squirt in my mouth. Like, so I get, I get graphic. Graphic stuff. Like this I hate, my biggest pet peeve is when I get emails saying this mistress did this with me. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good for her, good for you. Seems like you already know somebody who can do that. So you can check yourself and have fun with that.
Yeah.
And so like when people try to like push your boundaries by saying other mistresses do that, and you're like, that's so cute, that's so sweet, but absolutely no.
Yeah.
No.
And like go see them again.
Go see them again. If that was your experience, I love that.
And if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. And if I know somebody who does something that I don't, I'll recommend. Like, I'm like, you know, I know this mistress does this, you know. Or I say like, I don't think that we're a good match. And, you know, people say that they found out about BDSM through porn. I'm like, I won't see you because your understanding is porn, and porn is not BDSM.
Yeah.
I mean, there is very much BDSM themes. Don't get me wrong, but like, you know, that's not an actual portrayal. And people have been like, yeah, you show me your pussy. And I'm like,
that's
not what we do.
That's not what we're doing.
No.
Do you feel comfy saying like what's on your no list? Like, we've heard a little bit about your yes, but just for listeners to be like, what's not on Mistress Luna's table?
So I don't do flesh, light to flesh. Yeah. So no, like worshiping, mistress worship.
Okay.
We'll call that.
Yeah.
I don't do any nudity. Yeah. CFNM.
Do people ever ask? So this is what I get questions about.
Yeah.
So this is what I meant.
Yeah.
Bathroom stuff.
So I do not do scat, full toilet service, anything like that. No. But I have done like GS, which is golden showers and stuff, and golden nectar. And that stuff is fun. I love that.
Nice. You said that you like to be in control, I think is how you said it.
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I love guiding you and watching you and feeding off your energy and having you serve me. It's this other layer of control, of servitude and devotion that people give to you. And when people need to surrender and people need to not be in charge of themselves and they need to be like part of something that's like external and want to serve you, like, I love that.
That's amazing. What would you say, if you can say, is the silliest or a silly shame-related experience that you have encountered through your work?
You know, I don't know if there's any. I feel like a lot of people, like I've mentioned probably a million times, is like a lot of people do carry shame.
Yeah.
And so there's really nothing silly about it. I mean, there's, you know, we've all had embarrassing moments of different things, and, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed about. And when you come in and you like are surrendering that, you're not ashamed.
That's true.
You know, and like, if you are, I'll take it out of you. Yeah. You know, like, you will not be ashamed. And so, like, shame is not silly. It's real. And it's something that we all carry. And like, how do you let go of that? How do you process that? Or how do you accept yourself? And what is the seed? What is the root of it? So
beautiful. Yeah, that is such a powerful way to answer that. And it sounds like anything that was shame is transformed into like transcendence or fun or whatever, connection.
And play. And we don't get to facilitate that as adults. And so to like let go and to fall into this play while also being able to surrender yourself and facilitating that and just taking that, and it's just beautiful. I love it.
That's amazing. So tell us, if you feel comfy, how has your sex related work influenced your own sex life or informed it?
You know, I've grown with my partner.
Yeah.
And it's created the space for patience and communication and understanding. And I think that's a big lack that a lot of people have. And like being able to like be in the moment and be present, not necessarily like in this physical sex intimacy, but in your psychological sex intimacy. Yeah. And like that is like so powerful for physical stuff as well. But like the psychological sex intimacy, like erotic intimacy, is stuff that goes overlooked because it's like sensation now, this, that. Yeah. But there's so many layers to our psyches.
Yes.
And so being able to be patient and communicate just who your core is with my partner and with, you know, people has just been, an asset. And also I've gotten to help other people communicate their sexual needs to their partners. And I've done that a lot of times. People have just approached me. I have facilitated conversations and like exercises for people to connect with their partners in a different way, because it's hard to become vulnerable. And I think that's another thing that's really sexy and really beautiful, is just this vulnerability and, you know, preying on that as a, but like in this very like beautiful like way, because it's consensual and a lot of people don't even understand, or, you know, that's like something that people also don't understand, is people think like I'm forcing someone to do something. And it's like, no, I invite submission and you gobble it the fuck up.
Yes.
You know, like that, like
not forcing.
There's no forcing. There's no, like, you follow my command, you will obey me, but there's like, I'm not forcing you to do shit. Like you can, like, that's not what this is.
I would love to hear about boundaries, work life and personal life boundaries, how you hold it, how you manage it, what yours are, where the lines, like how you handle client communication, just.
So for client communication, I really like to stick to email, and I like to have scheduled calls. People do not have permission to text me unless it's the day of our session. And then I like to have let people text me either like a week later, but I do prefer email. I will, like I just had this week where somebody was sending me emails and it was just like one email at a time over and over again. And I just was like, I am going to let you know this now, that if you've ever had trouble booking a mistress, it's because you keep responding to me, responding to our thread one email at a time. And so I will tell you this once. If you do it again, I will not respond to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have to, there's parts of me, I have very strict boundaries that money cannot buy access to.
Yeah.
And so being able, it's hard to say no to really great work, financial and fun, and different things, because I'm holding my ground, because I believe in my power and myself, that that's exactly how I should be honored, and that I should not budge that, and money cannot buy that. But, you know, devotion, service creates different opportunities throughout relationships, but you cannot buy access to different parts of energy.
I love that. What is the communication in your workplace like? Like, how do you like to be communicated with? We heard a little bit about email, but like, what does it actually like sound like when a submissive talks to you?
So everybody is different, but people are really excited. And some people, like, there's like a fear and an excitement and this like bashfulness, not shame, but this bashfulness of like, you see me raw, you see me bare. And there's like this childness, even you know, like, we're animals. There's, like, this eroticness that we've experienced our whole lives. And, like, you cannot deny it. That's, like, just human nature. And so, like, I love when people communicate to me. I tell people when I first see them that I want you to, if your arm is twisted and you're uncomfortable, tell me, because I'm the only one who makes you uncomfortable. Yeah. I want to make you uncomfortable on purpose, not an accident. You know, so I open up dialogue. I also like when people shut the fuck up. So it really, everybody's energy is different. And some people like to chat. Some people are so silent, and, you know, it's just reading people's bodies and reading people's energy. And you know them because I've studied them just like they study me and how they serve me. And so communication is almost body language as well. Like, you know, when I go out in public with somebody, people, you know, pull out my chair. People like, look, I order the food. I do this. I do that. Like, there is, like, you can tell that I am dominant and the body language is serving me a drink. You know, I have that in my hand. You know, there's different layers of that, like, body language of communication. And, like, yeah.
That's so amazing. Can you tell a difference between, like, a brand new submissive and someone who has more experience, or do you have more fun training one than the other?
You know, it's everybody's a little different. Some seasoned submissives are really great. They're so fun. They're so excited to either experience something with a new dom or go through a new experience and, like, share their journey. Yeah, so seasoned subs are really great to play with. And then you have seasoned subs who think that you're so new that you could possibly maybe show them your pussy, or they might push you to do something, and when they fucking know better, because they've been in the scene, in the community for years, and they know that you can't do that. And so I get a little bit of both. And then with a new submissive, you do have to train them. And I love education. I've always loved virgins. I've always had little puppy dogs. My mom would call them puppy dogs that would follow me around and do stuff for me my whole life. And so I've always had, like, you know, people want to be part of me.
That's so cool. What about safe words? Do you use the same with everyone? Do you have them set up? Like,
if people tell me that they have a safe word, they will say, this is my safe word.
Okay.
I do not say, hey, banana pie is your safe word. I do not say that. I do tell people, like, colors, yellow, orange, and red means stop. But typically we have such an energy and a rapport and a scene and an arc in, like, this connection that, like, when people are done, you feel it, see it. It's such, like, a second nature just to feel someone's energy like that and check in with them. And, you know, I am very communicative, but I, like, take just, you know, you suffer for me. And there is, like, this like balance between both of those things of, like, really letting somebody, like, suffer. But there's so many different ways people suffer, and what does that look like for somebody? And because it's our cycle, it's the psychology.
How in-depth do you get about what is going to take place in a scene? Is it very person-to-person?
It's very person-to-person, but I don't really talk to people beforehand. When I do phone interviews, I like to give people a little homework assignment after we get off the phone. Like, you know, after they've sent their deposit, I give them a homework assignment, and it's usually about, send me a little fantasy. This will be taken under consideration, but it's not like this is going to happen. But I want to connect to how your brain processes. So I have people, you can either write a bullet points, or you can write paragraphs, you can write a story, you can write something that inspired you, you can send me some photos. I've had people make me a Pinterest board. You know, I've had them make a Pinterest board of, like, what type of woman they want to be, and, like, you know, giving people homework assignments like that. And then I like to connect through, like, I don't really care how you write it. Like, it just gives me a piece of you. Yeah. And that's what I want. I just want all the pieces of you, and I'll take them bit by bit until you give me your whole.
Amazing. Okay, so switching gears just a little bit, what, if anything, have you learned about social and cultural norms through your work that has been interesting or surprised you or impactful?
You know, I have really, really noticed that people do not understand pain and people do not understand shame, but pain, more importantly, of, like, the dynamic of releasing and receiving and processing your own pain from physical, emotional, mental. And so I've just noticed that people don't really know how to communicate that and know how to talk about that. And it's something that like we hide, and which creates different avenues of things inside of us. And I really just strive for people to step into themselves and be little degenerates and be perverts or process their pain, you know, all of the things. You know, I have a client and we do heavy impact, but he meditates and he processes, and we do meditation. I do sound bowls. I do breathing techniques. I do, like, you know, my range is just such like a what you are and how I am, like, using you as, like, you know, if you're clay, I'm going to use you like clay. And sometimes people are a canvas and I'll use you as a canvas. And some people are a machine and also you the fuck up. And so, like, it's just, I will use you as my medium, and people come in all different ways, but I will use you.
Have you always been, it sounds like you're extremely excellent at reading people. Has that always been the case?
Yeah, you know, I am one of the youngest of like six kids. And I think like being able to read people growing up was, you know, asset to survival, of course, you know, and like processing myself and going through my own journey. I've always been able to like kind of read people. Yeah.
That's really awesome. Are there any, like, we were talking a little bit about the sex related norms. Are there any that you would like to shift or encourage if you're seeing trends?
I mean, I want more, like, appropriate public play.
Yes, me too. Say more. What's like, your version?
Like, you know, I like when I see people, like, tying people up at the beach. I like when I see, like, you know, people wearing little collars and, like, little leashes. You know, and it's hard because some of these things, like, are seen as, like, so, like, inappropriate or bad or, you know, I had a video with a million views on TikTok and it got taken down because there was a collar in my sub and I, who's trans fluid. And yeah, you know, so people just don't want to see things. And so that makes it hard, but I would love to see more just like acceptance of like culture expression. You know, there's pony play, there's dog play, there's people who love these things and it's part of them. Yeah. And I definitely understand like time and place.
Sure.
Like I value that, you know, but I do think that I would just love to see people just more in their zone.
Yeah. It's so interesting too, because I would be curious to hear your perspective on this. What I've noticed talking to people one-on-one is people are so open, accepting, actually, I would say baseline, pretty non-judgmental. If it's me and one person, but then you put them in a group. And what I notice is in effort to get accepted, they're like socially accepted, air quoting, norms. And like, trans stuff, especially, like when I was briefly advertising on a free chat line, the dude who ran it said that it was mostly like conservative users, and 70% of what the discussion topic was like feminization and trans stuff. So then to see that happen, it's like, what?
Yeah. You know, people are afraid.
Yeah.
There's so much fear in things. And that goes side by side with shame. And when we don't understand something, it's easy to be afraid of it, you know, and when you have fear, you go into different modes. And that is where we have hate. And that's where we have these struggles between people as well, you know.
Yeah. So since you've begun this line of work, have you noticed any sex related trends in your particular industry, like, or even in your own business practices, like when you're getting together with the group of dominatrices? Like, do you guys notice anything? Are there broad, I don't know, are there patterns that come up?
What do you mean by patterns?
Like, is there ever like, oh my God, it's the season of pegging? And I know
okay, so we have Locktober, which is people in chastity. That's like a season, that's like a trend for sure. I would say with my group of friends, we have a diverse group of subs that like are part of our social hangout group.
So cool.
We have a spectrum of people who love pain, to people who want to role play, to people who are super into sensation. And so, you know, tomorrow night you'll get to experience different people.
I'm just always curious if
the trends, because
like I'm always trying to make connections between like, did something come out somewhere on a show, and then is there a backlash, you know, like, because I see articles that are like five trends and I'm like, is that just clickbait?
So the only trends that I know is that there's a lot of guys who are not gay who want to engage in phallic play.
Yeah.
And that has been a really big trend that I've seen in people communicate that they want to experience these things, but they want to let me know that they are straight or have a partner and stuff. And so I would say, like, that's like a big trend that I see, mm-hmm. which is very, like, that's very normal. Mm-hmm. And like, I love when people want to experience that. And there's nothing wrong if you want to experience it if you are gay. You know, I have, like, I see all types of people who want to come, you know, like, I mean, and all types of people that I connect with. So, love like,
that. I love that. So tell us now, what do you want to celebrate the most about your work right now?
I would love just to celebrate that I'm really kind of stepping into my own.
Yes.
And I've really like developed my style and I feel so good with it. And I'm starting a company with one of my dom best friends.
What does it like feel like, if you can even put words to this, to like come into your own?
It feels like I've come home to myself. And there's many different layers. And I felt that throughout my whole life, where I have these pivotal moments of like, I'm home. I'm home. And there's this feeling that you just want to get lost in, but it's so secure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still my little kid self, even in the spaces hurting people, physically hurting people or physically guiding people to a clarity moment through, you know, the psychological play or, you know, giving people that freedom to see themselves in a different light has always been something that's been there. Yeah.
You're still just tugging a little boy's ear. What would you say that you're most excited to explore in your work going forward? Obviously, you're launching a new company. That's huge.
I'm really excited for that. But I'm also just excited to connect with more people. Yeah. And I love when people bring me the weird parts of themselves and that they want to explore. And so I'm just looking forward to continuing my education. You know, it's like when you learn something new and it's never enough, to continue the education. And I want to just play.
Okay, this, I kind of wanted to ask you this earlier, but like, have you ever dommed like a couple together or more than one person or friends? Is that something you'd ever be interested in, or is that too hard of a container?
So many people have approached me for couples, and I have done like play with personal friends in like couple situations, and that is fun, but the dynamic is different. And
totally different.
Yeah, it's totally different, but it's not like impossible. There's like a different power in it. And you know, I go to play parties with multiple people, so there's two doms, one person, or two people, one dom, and how that banter goes is, you know, because you are accounting for two other people's energies.
Yeah.
And to other people's experiences.
Yeah.
And not that like you can't juggle those things, but like you are personally caring individually for people.
Yeah. It's a lot to keep track of. I feel like even if I'm facilitating a threesome with like a new couple or something, I'm like, I can only focus in so many places at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, really fun. Giving people orders, telling them what to do and how to wait.
I guess
and
I
what
have
to
done
be.
That.
Yeah.
I am pretty good at it. Damn. Okay. Okay. So now just tell us, if you were in charge of the world, if you waved a magic wand and you could just teach everyone something about sex, what would you teach them?
This is a hard question. There's so many things I want to teach people.
You can say multiples.
But I really, thank you. I really think that I want people to learn how to communicate their needs.
Yeah.
I hear from so many women and so many men who are in relationships who are too afraid to communicate to their partners, their life partners, or even their current partners. It from one night stands to being married to somebody for 25 plus years, being able to communicate, hey, I need this. Hey, I feel like this. And you know, like, I don't think that my work would disappear, you know, because there's a lot of people who see me because their partners don't accept that part of them.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, there's still this world where people really need to express through this external, it's like a therapy, and being able to provide that. Yeah.
I've basically dedicated my whole life to trying to figure out sexual communication for the past 5 years, and it's a moving target, you know, and everyone is different.
Everyone's so different.
And I still notice stuff that comes up for me when I'm like, could you just...
And we also carry this generational trauma and this generational understanding and these stigmas around sex. And how do you break that? You know, I've started telling clients that your recommended reading is the Four Agreements because, you know, I call myself Mistress Luna Experience because experiences help us a bond with those that we share them with. They help us break our internal family systems and our beliefs that we've, the past beliefs that we've had. They help us create and form ideas, and it's a personal thing. We can all be in the same room and be a part of the same thing, but we all have different experiences. And so being able to be the Mistress Luna experience, mm-hmm. where I hold you and you have that, and being able to process whatever good, fun, naughty, wicked, all of it, and bring it to your life.
I'm going to wrap up by asking you a fantasy question, but can I share a fantasy with you first that just came up while you were talking? I really hope somebody out there goes to have a Mistress Luna experience and then comes on Sex Stories and talks about it.
I would love that. I would love that.
An experience. I love experiences because they create stories. Like, I'm obsessed with stories, and that's how I come into my being. Yeah. It's like, what story about myself do I want to tell? You know, like, what? Yeah. So that's my wish.
I would love that. I'll send somebody to you.
Okay, so my big life project. Imagine that there's a creative space, and it's part sex ed museum, first level, second level, part erotic art gallery, and then maybe probably down below, actually. So it's like education, inspiration, play. There's a members only dungeon. Maybe it doubles as a co-working set or space for erotic performers. There's educational elements. There's all that sort of stuff. You've been tasked with designing one of the rooms. So tell us, it can represent you, it can promote your brand, it can be an experience that you want, an experience that you want people to have that reflects your values. You have an unlimited budget. What would the Mistress Luna experience room look like?
So I would definitely design a room that was like full of senses that encapsulates you. Scent is the number one thing to our memory. So I love incorporating scent with different sensation impacts because it imprints it on your brain. And so being able to like walk into a room and have this like full sensory experience that's marked and branded in your brain.
Oh my God.
Something that's very fresh, but very like dark. So I like imagine kind of like this like baby's breath and chains kind of a vibe of just like this like dark gothic shadow of just love, but also like this deep-seated dark place. So
What textures would you have?
Oh, I would have vegan leather, chains, big comfy couches, and like chaise lounge, and just gorgeous lighting and very like calm but also like dark.
Are you a music person or no, like in sessions?
I do play music. Okay. Yeah, I do like music, but like it's not always present.
Have you ever met a submissive that the more turned on they get, the more noise sensitive they get?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It's me. but I'm like, is that happened to other people? I haven't met anyone
so
yet.
The more turned on you get, the more sensitive you are to sounds?
Yes, and light, but especially sound. Like if I have an orgasm and there's music playing, I'm like, please start. Or cover my head with a pillow. Too much.
I think that's very common, and especially with what I like to do when I take you layer by layer through your body. Like if you're so in your orgasm, it would make so much sense that you're overstimulated in other areas and that like it needs to just stop because your body is just so focused in this.
Don't touch me. Please cover my eyes.
And that's like perfect. Like, you know, and it's great just to communicate that and to tell people that, because when we communicate our needs, people are able to meet them. And that's just in general.
Mistress Luna, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, my website is mistresslunaexperience.com. That's also my email and my Instagram. I am on TikTok at m.luna.experience.
And links to all of that are in the description below. Mistress Luna, thank you so much for being a guest on Sex Stories.
Thank you.